Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Well, folks, Pelicans basketball has been rough this season. The Saints season, it started out rough, ended at least a little positive. We were looking for any glimmer of kind of positivity from our sports teams. Well, thankfully, we have LSU baseball coming up. Jay Johnson, defending national champion, getting these Tigers ready for preseason ball and helping us break things down. Joe Healy, writer and podcaster for D1Baseball.com, joining us now. Joe, great to hear from you, man. We know that baseball season is right around the corner.
Yeah, believe it or not, it's here. It's we have this long, long off season, and then all of a sudden we get past the holidays and you look up and here we are. So I'm excited. I know you guys, like you said, I know you guys down there are excited too. And about a month away today, actually, as a matter of fact.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, and I saw that D1 Baseball's preseason rankings come out. Tigers number two in the poll. And yeah, since Jay Johnson's taken over, they've ranked no worse than eighth in any major preseason poll since 2022. Just overall, I guess, real broad, your impressions of the 2026 Tiger team going into this year?
Yeah, I think just kind of continuing the expectations that program has had under Jay Johnson. It's another season in which Omaha is kind of the expectation, and national title is certainly on the table. We have them ranked number two for a reason. I think it's a well-balanced team. I think that's kind of what stands out to me is, as we preview all these teams, you know, you kind of end up getting a feel for, is this a pitching-centric team? Is this an offense-centric team? But with LSU, I really do like the balance. I think it's going to be a team that doesn't necessarily have to win games either 10-8 or win games 4-2. I think it can kind of win games both ways. I mean, we can get into some specifics throughout the conversation, I'm sure, about what I mean by that. But I really do think it is going to be the kind of team that can win a lot of different games a lot of different ways, and that really bodes well because, as you guys know, you're going to have weekends where your starting pitching just doesn't click for whatever reason. You're going to have weekends where you're leaving a bunch of guys on base offensively and just can't seem to score, and you've got to find ways to still win those games, and LSU has historically under Jay Johnson done that, and I expect him to do that again this season.
You know, Joe, jumping right into it with this LSU roster for 2026, before we get into some of the transfer pieces, some of the new faces, the freshmen that are talented that Jay Johnson's brought in, he's always emphasized recruiting year after year and kind of keeping this machine rolling, so to speak. A lot of key pieces back from last year's roster, especially in the outfield, Chris Stanfield, Derek Curiel, Jake Brown. I think the outfield for LSU is going to be a strength early on in the season and probably throughout the entire season because, you know, you've seen these guys perform at the college level, go through SEC play, go through postseason play, win a national championship together, and they're basically all back from last year.
Yeah, and that's a position group that I'm glad you start there because that's a position group where if things go a little bit differently, they don't have, you know, at least two-thirds of those guys because there's a scenario where Derek Curiel never makes it to LSU, right? He was that kind of draft prospect coming out of high school, but because of the strength of the program and because of the opportunity, he ends up on campus, but obviously in a different scenario, he doesn't make it. And then Chris Stanfield, I mean, there aren't a lot of players. I mean, he could have moved on to pro ball after last season. And also, he could have even looked to, not that this was ever rumored to be happening, I'm just saying in general, he could have looked to transfer after it was pretty clear that Curiel was going to play center field for this team in 2026. Stanfield's a guy who's played center field, and he's humble enough to kind of say, you know what, I still want to be in this program. I still have a lot to offer. Let me move to an outfield corner. Let me move to left field because I know this Curiel kid is going to be the center fielder of the future, and that there just aren't a lot of guys who would make that transition and do it with the grace that he did it, right? He had a lot of options. Like I said, he could have transferred, could have gone to pro ball. He could have put up a stink about it and tried to fight it. But instead, he realizes what's best for the program, and so he sticks around. And to your point, like, now they have a really strong outfield, and obviously I can't overlook Jake Brown in this. It's a guy that since the minute he stepped on campus, Jay Johnson's been telling us, hey, this guy's going to be a dude. This guy's going to be a dude. And it's taken some time. It hasn't, you know, he wasn't a guy that from the very beginning necessarily put it all together, but we started to see it last season, and everything I've heard suggests that he's in for a monster season and could, you know, could be the guy that when you talk about how do you replace a Jared Jones in the lineup, I mean, you can't really, right? Jared Jones is kind of a one-of-one player, but Jake Brown is a guy that has the tools to be able to be a similar type of impact guy offensively.
Looking at the corners, it looks like there is a logjam, you would say, in the infield spots with the transfers of Trent Carraway, Zach Yor coming in. How do you see Jay Johnson sorting out third and first base right now?
I think the favorites right now have to be Zach Yor at first and then Carraway at third, like you mentioned. Zach Yor is such an interesting player. He reminds me a little bit of, you may remember at Auburn a couple of years ago, they had a guy named Sonny DeShera. It's a similar body type. He's a big boy. And you'd think that, you know, based on that body type, much like Sonny DeShera, it's similar in this way. Based on the body type, you think, oh, big power hitter, you know, kind of a guy that just is going to try to muscle the ball out of here. But actually, power was the last thing kind of for him to come along. He's actually just a really good pure hitter. Like, he's going to spray line drives all over the place. And yeah, I mean, the ball's going to get out of the ballpark every once in a while because he's a big, strong kid. But mostly he's just going to be up there trying to hit the ball hard on a line somewhere, and he does a really, really good job of that. And Trent Carraway's a little bit like, you know, we talked about Jake Brown, a guy that it's taken a little bit of time for him to put it all together. Carraway's kind of like that. His freshman year at Oregon State, he had a season that was mired in injury. When he played, he was great, but the injury hampered him. I think he was limited to something like 17 games as a freshman. And then last year, he just got off to a really slow start. And I say start, but it was really the first half or two thirds of the season. He really couldn't get it going. And then all of a sudden he became the hottest hitter in their entire lineup throughout the postseason. And he was a big part of Oregon State getting to Omaha. So a supremely talented player. I think one other name to watch kind of on the infield generally, maybe at DH, is Braden Simpson, a transfer from High Point. Talk about a guy who can really, really hit. I'm not really sure where he goes defensively. He's a guy who can play second, he can play third, he can play first, but he's not necessarily he's an offense first guy. So I think his bat is one they're going to want to find a spot in the lineup for. It's just a matter of where you end up finding a place for him to fit in the puzzle.
Well, listen, Joe, too much talent is never a bad thing for this LSU roster.
Right, 100%.
Steven Milam returning as well. He played awesome at shortstop for LSU that last year, and they had that great infield connection up the middle with him and Danny Dickinson, who ended up going in the draft. But then, so I think second base is maybe more up in the air about who's going to potentially lock that down. Seth Dardar, who comes in from Kansas State, a transfer. I want to get your thoughts on him and if he's going to potentially be that, kind of fill that void that Danny Dickinson leaves behind with the draft.
Yeah, I think he could. Certainly, I mean, another offense first player, another guy who's played at Kansas State. He played a few different positions, wasn't necessarily locked in at any one spot. A really good offensive player. I think he's got some physicality. He's got some feel to hit. He's a pretty good athlete. But I think actually the favorite there, at least the impression I got coming out of the fall, is the favorite at second base is actually probably Tanner Reeves, who's a guy who's been on the roster, a bit of a veteran presence. And we'll see. I mean, Jay Johnson's very good at mixing and matching his lineups and going with hot hands and matchups and all that stuff. So maybe second base is just a position where we see a handful of different guys throughout the year. I think that could be in the cards because ultimately the outlier here was, right, I think the exception to the rule maybe is going to be what we saw from Danny Dickinson last year, where you just put him at second base every single day and run him out there. I think this year might be a little bit different in that I wouldn't be shocked if we end up seeing two or three or four different guys at second base throughout the course of the season and just trying to find the hot hand or the right matchup.
Joe, Charlie had just brought up Steven Milam. I'm curious your impressions of him. Great defensively last season, but man, offensively a down year for him, and hoping he can bounce back this season.
Yeah, and I think he will. I think he's just kind of like years like that happen. Ultimately, college seasons are kind of a small sample size, right? If you, you know, compare it to the big leagues, right? Where if you have a bad 3 weeks in the big leagues, it, like, you know, you can rebound from that. You've got 6 months of season to play out. But in college baseball, I mean, 3 weeks is like a quarter of your season. So if you have a bad 3 weeks, you've kind of already tanked your season in a lot of ways, at least statistically. So I think some of that is what happened there with Milam. He was also being asked to do more, right? I mean, he was a real guy last year, and they were asking him to play shortstop every day. And you're right, the defense was absolutely on point. So I think it's going to be a situation where he comes back out this year. He's going to be a little more physically ready for it. It's a taxing thing to play shortstop every day, especially in the SEC when you've got the ball coming off the bat at 100 miles an hour with everybody in the lineup. It's just a difficult thing to do physically. I think he's going to be a little bit more physically ready for that this year, and I think that'll filter down to his offense being a little bit more dangerous this year than it was last year.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Moving to the mound here, Joe, I wanted to ask you about the sophomores that LSU can kind of roll out there as far as the pitching staff goes, because Cason Evans really felt like that third head of the three-headed monster last year with Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson. But then also you have a bunch of returning sophomore pieces like William Schmidt, who was super highly touted coming out of high school. You know, Maverick Rizzi, who I think really made some crazy numbers in the Cape Cod League, but also other pieces like Cooper Williams, Danny Lockenmeyer, the transfer that comes in. It's a bunch of really talented sophomores that LSU is going to be able to roll out on the mound.
Yeah, and you know, Cason Evans, I think, is the headliner there. He's probably the guy that I would bet starts, takes the ball on opening day as their Friday night guy. And based on what we saw late last year, there's a reason why that is, right? I think you put it well as the third part of the three-headed monster. I think I'd be shocked if he doesn't take to that role and have an excellent season. Rizzi is another name that yeah, I'm glad you brought up, because, you know, I went up to the Cape and saw him last summer. I happened to be there while he was there, and it was the most dominant. I saw him for two different outings while I was up there, and it was the most dominant two outings I saw in the Cape last year. I mean, the fastball is up to 98, 99 miles an hour. The slider was unhittable, and that was more of the question with him. We always knew there was the arm strength, but, you know, how was the secondary stuff going to look? And at least on the Cape, it looked awesome. And, you know, it's look, summer ball sometimes is a little bit of fool's gold, but I don't know, man. It just looked so good that I have a hard time imagining it doesn't translate. And, you know, the Lockenmeyer guy is an interesting one, because it just goes to show, and I bring him up for this very specific reason, is it just goes to show that, like, you can find talented players everywhere, because the North Dakota State guy is not necessarily where your brain goes. Like, let's find transfer pitchers. Let's find transfer arms that we think we can use at LSU and the SEC. And yet, tireless recruiter that they are, this LSU staff, they go and find a guy in Danny Lockenmeyer, who I think is going to have a role to play. And it, like I said, it just goes to show that they're really leaving no stone unturned to find guys that can fit in this roster.
Talking with Joe Healy, writer and podcaster at D1Baseball.com. You can check out all his great work there. Joe, looking at the SEC, we always know it's a gauntlet of tough teams to go through for LSU. But who do you think is on that next level as the Tigers? If you had to pick out a couple of squads that were those elite teams, I guess you would say, in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah, Texas and Mississippi State are the two that come to mind. We had them at 3 and 4, right behind LSU in the rankings. Okay. Texas was at 3, Mississippi State at 4. For Texas, the pitching depth stands out, and that's what really hurt them last year. Last year, they pitched great first half of the year. I mean, that's the reason they end up winning the regular season title, is they pitched great. But down the stretch, their pitching just looked tired. And they really only had 5 or 6 guys they trusted on the mound, and they kept running them out there and kept running them out there. And, you know, by the time they get to a regional, they come up against a really hot-hitting UTSA team, and they just didn't have it on the mound. They just didn't have enough. Well, this year, the depth is just better there. So a couple of guys that pitched a lot for them last year, a guy named Ruger Riojas, a guy named Max Grubbs, really nice pitchers, but not necessarily the guys you'd think a Texas staff would be built around. Well, those guys are going to be asked to do a little bit less this season. So everybody kind of moves down a seat or two, if you will. And I think that's good news for Texas depth. And the top of their lineup, I think, is also pretty dangerous. They have two of the best transfers, Aiden Robbins, an outfielder from Seton Hall, and Carson Tinney, a catcher from Notre Dame. I think both those guys slot into the middle of their order really nicely. And then Mississippi State, the best way to think about that team is that their new coach, Brian O'Connor from Virginia, he kept basically all the guys they wanted to keep. They kept them all out of the portal. And then he brought in a bunch of his own guys from Virginia. So it's basically two rosters that have been combined into one, two pretty talented rosters in Mississippi State and Virginia. And so that's the best way to think about that. And they've got a potential SEC player of the year and Ace Reese in their lineup. He's probably the biggest name to know. But the question with them is going to be on the mound. We've got them ranked 4th because we trust the arm talent, but they don't have a lot of proven guys from a starting rotation standpoint. They're going to be asking a lot of some guys that have really great stuff, but haven't necessarily proven it. So how far along that pitching comes is going to probably control the ceiling for Mississippi State.
Business as usual in the SEC, Joe. 11 of the top 25 in the D1 baseball preseason poll from the SEC. Listen, I want to ask you about Tennessee. You know, the post-Vitello era, I think it's going to be fascinating to watch unfold. Him taking the San Francisco Giants job, it's kind of unprecedented. I mean, it's been a very strange storyline to watch unfold and everything like that. I want to get your thoughts on Tennessee, and you have them at number 14 in this list, in between Florida at 13 and Georgia at 15. So your kind of preseason evaluation of them.
Yeah, 14 kind of feels like a hedge, right? Because I think I like, just speaking for myself personally, I like the talent on the roster probably a little bit better than 14. I think I'd have them closer to 10 on talent. But then the flip side of it is that we just don't know how this is going to look with this new coaching staff, because it's not just Tony Vitello goes to be the manager of the Giants and Josh Elander takes over. Well, because Josh Elander gets promoted, you have to replace Josh Elander's job. So they bring in Chuck Duralemon from Florida, who's a well-respected coach. I think that'll be fine, but they also lose their pitching coach and Frank Anderson, who's maybe the best pitching coach. You know, he and Nate Yeske are probably the two names that come to mind when you talk about great pitching coaches of this era of college baseball. So they have to replace him. They lost their strength coach to the Giants. So they have to replace their strength coach, who was a guy that they kind of said in that program was a little bit of a secret weapon for them. So again, I say 14 is a hedge because it's like, if the bottom falls out of this thing, maybe they're a team that's in the 20s in the rankings, right? And I think there are some questions about the rosters, because I have questions about, do they have a real Friday starter, or do they have a bunch of Saturday starter type guys? Offensively, you know, do they have a guy who can replace an Andrew Fisher, who can replace a Gavin Keelan, guys like that? But this is Tennessee. They've still been recruiting well. So if you told me this is a top 10 team in April and May, I think I'd also believe that. But I just don't know what it's going to look like with this new coaching staff, because that was such a personality-driven coaching staff. Frank Anderson, Tony Vitello, both big personalities, both clearly kind of the alphas in that dugout. What happens when you take those guys out of the equation? I'm not really sure, but we're going to find out together.
And Joe, just curious for you too, which SEC program do you feel needs to get off to the hottest start the most in 2026? Is it like a Florida trying to prove they're back in the elite status, or maybe like an Ole Miss trying to find some consistency?
I think those are a couple of good options, but I will also give you Texas A&M, okay, because that was a program, we remember what happened last year, preseason number one, and they immediately, you know, fell on their face right out of the starting blocks, right? And so I think it's a situation where that's a team that really needs to get out to a hot start, because I don't have a lot of faith that if it doesn't start well, I can't, how can we have a lot of faith that they're going to recover, right? Because last year they got off to a slow start and it just snowballed and snowballed and snowballed and snowballed. They eventually got a little more on track, but ultimately they ended up missing the postseason. So I think that's a team where I wonder if they get off to a little bit of a slow start, does everyone in that dugout start to look around each other and say, here we go again? And then those things can kind of snowball on themselves. So that's one where it's like, that's a program that needs confidence. They need confidence in themselves, in the coaching staff, and everybody there that they can be what we thought they were going to be last year, because they're another team we kind of hedged on. If you look at the roster, I think it's probably a top 15 team, but we have them ranked 25 because it's like, well, they weren't any good last year. And it's a lot of the same guys, it's the same coaching staff. So I just don't know how we can have any faith they're going to be a lot better based on what we saw last year. But boy, they're talented. And so we have them ranked 25 and we'll see what happens. But it strikes me as a team that needs to get off to a hot start just so they have enough confidence that they can actually be a better team than what they were last year.
Joe, before we let you run, I wanted to ask you about the number one team in the D1 baseball preseason poll. We've talked a lot about SEC schools, LSU at 2, Texas at 3, Mississippi State at 4, and then the 11 teams in the top 25. But UCLA coming in at number one on y'all's poll, a team that made it to Omaha last year. LSU fans obviously remember the Tigers taking them down in Omaha. Is it just a squad that returns a lot of talent from last year's team that made it that far?
Yeah, that's the short version of it. I mean, Omaha team last year that brings back just about everybody from that team, including the guy that I think has to be the preseason favorite for National Player of the Year, Rock Chalowski, their shortstop, who, you know, is a guy that could be playing college baseball anywhere, and he chose to stay close to home at UCLA. The other thing is that UCLA is recruiting, you know, in terms of recruiting, it's kind of like the SEC, and there's a gap between the SEC and other conferences. UCLA is a little bit of an exception to that rule. They're still recruiting big-time high school players. They have a guy named Angel Cervantes who turned down money, real money in the draft, was drafted something like 50th overall in the draft, turned down that money, goes to UCLA. He's probably going to be in their rotation from day one. And so you just don't see a lot of programs outside of the SEC getting players to get drafted and say, nah, I'm actually going to go to college. But UCLA is one of those exceptions. So you combine, you know, bringing everybody back, they bring in a strong freshman class, they sprinkle in some transfers here and there. And I think they deserve a lot of credit because you don't have to go very far back to see some UCLA teams where you kind of looked around and thought, you know, UCLA just doesn't seem like it's as strong as they used to be. Well, last year they were back among the elite in college baseball, and it sure looks like they're going to be there again in 2026.
Always great hearing from you, Joe. Thank you so much for the time, as always.
Absolutely, fellas. Good to be back.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Healy, writer and podcaster for D1Baseball.com. Follow him on X at Joe Healy D1. Man, oh man, Charlie, you hear, well, that's one of those voices too you hear, and it's like, we're almost back to college baseball season.
We say it every college baseball season. We love the D1 guys. They are fantastic at what they do. Joe's excellent. And listen, like you said, it's good to be back.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.